Hey guys, this is my last episode for 2019. We will return with all new content in January 2020. I just wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thank you for your continued support and all the feedback that I get from you guys. It helps me keep this going and I appreciate it all. Without further ado, let's roll into this episode. Welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we're going to do a little recap with Mr. Phoenix Shooting Bag himself, Tone Loke, Anthony Bag of Donuts, a.k.a. Anthony Stallone. What's up?
Nothing. Just trying to get everything ready for my son's cruise deer hunt.
I know. You guys got fucking lucky. Well, they got lucky.
Yeah, they're getting lucky every year. I haven't drawn a cruise deer tag in 4 years.
Well, you couldn't go anyway. You shot one with the bow.
I know, but still, the 2 years prior to that, I never got a tag. I had to use
the year before you shot one with the bow. Also.
Oh, I know.
You two Januaries in a row.
I'm gaining points.
Yeah.
By the time you know it, my daughter will be taking my points, and maybe we'll get her a nice deer.
Yeah. But, and me, conversely, I haven't shot a deer in 2 years in Arizona. Right? Yeah, 2017.
Well, you got to go with Joe this weekend anyway, so hopefully you guys will get something. Just shoot a small one. Who cares? Just get it out of your system. It doesn't have to be a big one. Who cares what everybody thinks? Forget them.
I usually don't care what anybody else thinks.
I know, but you want something big. I don't blame you. I want, like me, I'm going to step up every year.
Yeah.
Get a little bit bigger with
the bow. But then you get to a point and you can't be, how much bigger can you, I mean, you can go bigger. Oh, you can always go bigger.
Then you go like Chad Roberts style and just get a 300 and that's it. And never have to shoot another deer again.
I'll start over again. I'll start back from the bottom.
Oh, man.
If I shot a 300 inch deer. It's not like. I guess I can. I still have plenty of room to go up. I think my biggest Arizona buck is like 180. So I didn't even score him. He might even be less than that. So,
listen, it looks good to me. I think the most fun is just getting on the stalk. I mean, yeah, killing a nice big deer, but I think my excitement is just getting close,
being out there, having opportunities. I agree.
Honestly, I have more fun now just helping out everybody else. I like with your daughter.
Yeah.
I had such a freaking great time. That was probably one of my, I don't want to say favorite hunts, but just to see the interaction of you and her being there together. She was excited. Like that first deer hunt.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
It sucks the way it ended up that day. I mean, I guess in the end it ended up being all right because, she ended up getting a bigger buck, but. That morning would have been nice to get it done. I'm actually kind of glad we didn't get it done that morning. And if you want, we could talk about the story. But part of me, although I was upset and I didn't want her to experience having shot something and losing it, and at that age, at I think there's some part of me.
I think it's a good learning experience.
Yeah, some part of me is happy that it happened. One, because this would have been her second big game animal that she's killed, and it would have been the second big game animal she killed on the first morning.
Uh-huh.
You get used to that, like.
Yeah, like.
Joey. And then
Joey gets used to it.
Yeah, exactly. And then he goes out and he expects it. That's what the hunt's gonna be. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm gonna show up and. Dad or Zeal is gonna find me a buck or a deer, or elk or whatever, and I'm just gonna go shoot it and done.
Joey got a reality check actually with coyotes and foxes. We had him come in a couple times and had some follies, and he had a folly with you also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you had the folly, not him.
Yeah, you're right. I did. It was on my side, and I missed. Yes.
But the last three times we've gone out, we haven't been able to call in anything. So I kind of like said, when that opportunity presents itself, you gotta respect it. You gotta like really cherish that moment.
Right.
And he's like, Dad, I can't wait till I get another chance at it. And
right.
Listen, we were on that bear hunt with Dave this year. That little shit got a chance to shoot at a bobcat while we're driving in.
Okay? Right.
And I got him all set up. He was about to shoot. He didn't shoot, which was fine. He just couldn't. He just disappeared. Right. Then he had the opportunity to shoot at a bear, which it's very hard to freaking find bears here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Dave took us to his secret spot, and
right.
He freaking got on the. Actually, to be honest with you, he started off. He found the Cootamundi.
Yeah.
Oh my God! This little. He's like. He didn't know what the hell was going on. He's like, Dad, I think it's a fox or something. He sees something hairy, blah, blah. He goes, there's so many of them. He goes, they keep on going in and out of each other inside the freaking rocks. So I put my binos right on there, and there's freaking six Cootamundi. And in my head, I'm like, oh, I think we could shoot one. I know you get one a year.
Right.
And I'm like, then I'm calling you and calling Dave. Hey, does this suck? Is it Cootamundi season? You know, who the hell thinks I'm going to see a Cootamundi? It wasn't even popping in my head during that time of year in August. Yeah. And everybody's like, no, it's not Cootamundi season.
It wasn't bobcat season either.
It wasn't.
You're lucky you didn't shoot a bobcat. I was just going to say.
No, I thought it was bobcat season.
No, dude, they both open the same time. It's fur bear. Yeah.
I thought. Oh, no. Whatever it was.
They opened, I can't remember exact date, but I think it's the same day as deer opens.
Okay, but.
Or August 1st or something like that. I don't remember, but it's close. I know it closes on March 31st, and then it opens again sometime in August.
But so he's all ready to shoot the Cootamundi. I had him all set up. He's on him. But I'm like finding out if we're able to.
Right.
Dave says, no, you cannot shoot it. I said, okay, Joe, you can't shoot it. And out of the corner of my eye, I see the bear.
Uh-huh.
300 yards. 300 yards is a chip shot.
Right.
Not chip shot, but it's a chip shot for Joey.
Right.
However, this thing is, we were on this like little plateau that goes straight down 300 feet. And we were like on this one rock.
Right.
So to shoot the bear, it's like straight down. So he had to get all the way to the edge with the barrel like over the rock.
Right.
Bro, I was getting scared. I was like, yeah. I was getting nervous. I was like, my wife would shoot me if she seen this, man. She's like, you're crazy. So he gets over there and he's like, Dad, can I shoot? I said, go ahead and shoot whenever you're ready. And he's not taking the shot. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, shoot. He's not stopping.
Yeah.
And I freaking never told him that the bears never stop. And I should have did like a call or something, or like a rabbit call.
Something.
I wasn't thinking, man. And so he lost them in the scope, and I'm like trying to find them back in the binos. And here he goes again. And I'm like, oh, he's at 500 yards. Click up the rifle to 500 yards. And I'm like, whenever you get the shot, take the shot. He doesn't shoot. He's like, I have him, but he doesn't want to shoot. And I'm like, why is he not shooting? Then after it gets to 600, I'm like, why aren't you not taking the shot? He goes, Dad, because he's not stopping. And he goes, I don't want to take an unethical shot. And I'm like, I'm so proud of him to even like those words to even come out of his mouth.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, dummy, listen, the freaking bear don't ever stop. You got to freaking just shoot and like know what you're doing. Like we've practiced this, but I didn't tell him. And I'm just like, I'm so mad at myself that I didn't educate him like that.
Yeah.
And not that I've ever shot a bear. I just been there with Dave when he shot bear, you know.
Right.
And I'm just like, good lesson learned. Next year, we're practicing moving targets.
No, how about freaking stop them?
I guess
they'll stop, man. Yeah. Just make a high pitched squeal. They'll stop.
I know. But these are lessons. I mean, I think this year has been lessons learned.
Put an elk diaphragm in your mouth and squeal. I swear to God.
I should have. I should have. Freaking did it. Yeah.
It works.
But I had the FX.
They do stop.
I had the FX with me. And I don't even. I should.
Oh yeah, you could have called them back.
When you're in that situation, I was just like, everything's so quick. Everything happens so fast.
Right. That's right. He didn't have anything else other than that. He had the bear, and now he has this tag, December rifle tag.
Yeah, but we went for the fox.
Right.
And he was with the shotgun.
And it came in.
And yeah, this
in
is
that
like,
spot where I told you to go.
Yeah. Well, right. He goes and shoots it and he falls back and he got all scared.
Oh.
But I had a perfect shot at this fox, but I don't need to shoot a fox. I wanted him. It was for him. But he didn't have a great angle at it. And he was like a little cockeyed and he He just fumbled the shot, but it scared him because he wasn't used to the shotgun. You know, he's been shooting the 243 that has no kick.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it just like startled him. And then he, later on, he was fine, but it took him for a second just to be like, oh my God, what just happened? Yeah. But he was pissed that he missed.
12 gauges.
Yeah, especially
a different level.
Yeah, I know. But he's always shot big guns. He never flinches, that kid.
Yeah, he's there's nothing to the shotgun. There's no recoil, anything. There's no fluid. There's no brake on your barrel. There's none of that, you know, porting or anything. It's just, you know, straight shotgun. So, shooting slug, it's got quite a bit more kick. Or not slug, but buckshot.
It was like eight shot.
Oh,
like
you were shooting eight shot? Okay.
Or like a nine pellet or something like that.
Oh, nine pellet. Yeah, so that's double odd.
Yeah.
Double odd buck.
Yeah. It got a kick.
Yeah. So in August, then I took Ella to go shoot wild pigs, and she shot one with the crossbow. That was her first experience at big game. You know, she had been coyote hunting. She still hadn't gotten one, but she wanted to do it with a bow. I only took her, I think I took her twice with the 22, and both times we got skunked. Like, I don't know. I have this thing with some reason when I have a rifle in my hand, not a shotgun, but a rifle in my hand, I don't ever seem to call in dogs. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, and I have, but I haven't done it in so long anyway. But I took her with the 22, didn't call him in. Took her with the crossbow. We called him in, but he never presented a shot. And then I took her to do that hog hunt, and she did. I mean, she did awesome. She killed it. In the first, we stalked into, I think the shot was it 30 or 40 yards? I can't remember. But we stalked in pretty close. And she shot off the tripod because we had to stand up where we were at.
That's not easy. Standing and freaking shooting with these kids, that scope wobbles.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty, I mean, I see what I did. I knew that was going to happen. So I purposely took her to use repass. And we walked a 3D course, and she shot every single target at 50 yards plus off the tripod. Uh-huh. And that gave her all the confidence she needed.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, because there was like three, javelina, boar type targets, three or four of them, and she hammered every one of them. One of them that was an actual boar, we practiced stalking up, me setting up, and me calling the yardage and her picking the yardage on the scope and everything. And, you know, we did that a couple times, and she shot that boar at 75 yards off the tripod. And I was awesome. Like, you know what? This is a done deal. We just got to find one and get close. It's a done deal. And then she had, she had her first rifle tag this year, which you and me, we took her out that first morning. You were just, alluding to that in the beginning of this.
She was so cute. She was like up in the morning, and she was like ready to go, all in her Sitka gear.
Yeah.
God, she looked like a freaking professional. Yeah. She's like, and she impressed me on her hiking skills, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah. Oh, you should have seen her when we actually killed the damn deer.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hey, I'm pissed that I wasn't there. Even though I was there in the morning helping find the deer and glassing it up. But
that's right. I forgot you were with me that morning.
Yeah, me and you.
I forgot. Because I remember your brother coming, but then I forgot that you were there with me in the morning when I found the deer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we hiked all the way to the top, and I don't want to say the name of the mountain, but that's
it's impressive. Yeah.
1,500 foot climb.
But what I'm saying is what I was more impressed with was that how she would step on, like, the cactus, how she would step on the bushes, mm-hmm. how she would move the tree limbs so that she wouldn't get poked. And she was doing everything correctly. And I was telling my daughter, because I took her hunting. Actually, I took her scouting with me for Sebastian's elk hunt.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, I want to do just like how Ella was doing it. Because I was explaining to her. I was wow, I was very impressed with Ella. And she was so excited that, she got the deer.
Right.
But I was like, all right, we got to practice how Ella was doing it. And she's like, yeah, yeah. Always younger cousin kind of thing. But I would, like, she got poked. She wouldn't even complain to me. She wasn't, like, she wasn't scared of walking in the woods. She found first blood. Mm-hmm. She did a great job, man. I was like, yeah. Papa's teaching her right. And
I try, man. You know, there's, I don't know if there's it's just days that there's the frustration level goes up pretty high because she'll go from being like superstar to, you know, girly girl whiny pants.
Yeah, but that's all kids. And
but you're right. I was impressed. I even told her. I said, it's so funny because the next day, so after she shot her buck, she had a soccer game, and she was whining about something and how like the girls were being. I don't know if they were being, if they were playing more aggressive than you. And I said to her, I said, Ella, do you realize what you did yesterday? You showed more grit yesterday than all these girls on your team combined and the stuff that you did to go up that mountain, kill that deer, and then bring that deer back down. I mean, mind you, Shane and I carried the deer down, but... She was carrying a pack, and she was, you know, we had to take some of our gear out and put it in her pack, and, you know, in the dark, it was pitch black. We came back, it was pitch black the whole way down. I mean, the first maybe 200 yards we could still see, and then we were in flashlights and all the way back to the truck, and it was probably, I mean, as the crow flies, it wasn't maybe more than a mile and a half, but it straight the hell up and straight the hell down, and then once you get down to the bottom, uh-huh. It's rollers, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, wash to wash. What's that?
It's a lot of cactus.
Oh, tons.
Getting that stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
not easy. So, especially them being lower, they get pricked like in the chest. They get pricked.
Oh, yeah. They got everything in the face.
It's not like in our legs, you know, we're getting it on our legs or our thighs. They're getting it straight there.
Yeah. So, no, I was super happy with her. I mean, she, and the shot she made was great, 350 yards, you know.
And she shot the 300 rum.
That's right. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, let's talk about that. People, so, that
don't
morning.
Don't ever do this to your kids, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, do not pull a John Stallone. I know you should just bard my 243, like I said, and that's it. You and your, listen to me. I love the Huskama scope. I love the Huskama system, and I think it's great. And I know you have the best of the West rifle, and that's great.
I thought why I took the 300. But listen,
that 6.5. Because I know what happened with the scope and whatever. Next time, just borrow my freaking gun. It's a kid gun, and that's it. Listen, all the yardage is on
that's
there.
The gun she's used to shooting, though. She's used to shooting the 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
She's used to shooting her grandfather's gun, okay?
Yes.
I built that gun for Frank. When he passed away, he gave it to me. She wanted to shoot that gun. We went out that morning. The scope, the zero got screwed up, so I never got a chance to get back out. To get the zero on, so she wanted to shoot my 6.5 Creedmoor. We get out there, unbeknownst to me. Okay, I said, all right, Ella, let's take a couple of shots before we go find these deer, because I know they're going to be bedded down, but we got some time. Let's go lay down right here, and let's shoot our couple of rocks. And she's shooting. I lay her down, get her set up on the Phoenix bags, and I'm like, all right, you see that rock over there, blah, 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 300 yards. Yep, I got it, Dad. All right. Send it. Boom. Really high, like super high. And I'm like, you missed. You missed really high. She shoots again. Boom. Super high. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, you must be shooting at the wrong spot because you hit the same spot twice. I don't think you're looking at the same thing. So I take her back, show her in the binos. I'm like, okay, you see that one? Yeah, okay, I see that one. Oh, okay, yeah, that rock, okay. I'm like, all right, so she messed up. She's shooting a different rock. Gets in there, shoots. Boom. Now she's shooting to the right. Shoot again. Boom. Shoots to the right. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, Ella, let me get behind this gun and shoot it. I get behind the gun. I shoot again. Boom. Misses. Completely misses. I'm like, yo, something's fucked up. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I just got to you know, dial the scope in. And that's it. I go to touch the scope, and the whole scope is wiggling back and forth. The freaking Picatinny rail came undone. And I'm like, what? I haven't even shot this gun yet. I mean, like, it's got, like, 15 rounds through it. Just enough to sight it in, and it was, you know, shooting good. But anyway, so Picatinny rail. I couldn't fix it because I didn't have the right tools. And plus, by the time I would have tightened that down and...
No, no.
You know, all that. Who knows what I would have, how long. Luckily, I brought the 300 just in case. Just in case. I brought the 300. The old trusty, best of the West. 300 rum. I laid her down. And she's like, Dad, I don't want to shoot. I'm afraid. I'm like, it's loud, baby, but it doesn't kick any more than the gun you just shot. I promise.
It does. It doesn't kick that bad.
I was lying a little bit. It does kick a little bit more than the 6.5, but it barely kicks, especially when it's on the bags and you're laying down. It doesn't kick.
It doesn't kick as bad, no.
I'm like, listen, lay behind the gun. I'll pull the trigger. Okay. Boom. I pull the trigger. Bam! Blows up the rock at 300 yards. With me pulling the trigger. Okay. She's like, all right. I'm like, now you ready to do it yourself? Yeah. All right. Okay, let's get on another rock. Boom. Blows up the rock. I'm like, that's it. You're good. You going to do this? She's like, all right, Daddy, let's do it. All right. So now I drove another half a mile in the road, got to that, climbed up that little hill and sat down. I'm still waiting
For Shane
or your brother to show up, because I don't want to go up there to without a, you know, somebody, an extra guy with me.
For sure,
you know, just keep an eye on him, whatever, because I knew I was going to be, you know, getting down on the gun and doing whatever with her. So Shane is still a half an hour away. Your brother still hasn't got off of work yet. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I sit down. As soon as I sit down and put the binos up, one of the bucks stands up, and I'm like, okay, well, I know he's still there. I'm like, Ella, we're just going to have to go. Shane calls me now because I had lost contact with him. He must have just kind of hit, you know, where he loses service.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I'll be there in like 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, listen, I'm going to start hiking. When you see my truck stop, I'm going to put a radio in the back of my, in the bed of my truck. Put the radio in your ear, and then just get me on the radio when you get here. We're going to go get ourselves into position. So we hike all the way in and we get underneath one of the areas that, you know, anyway, but we get underneath them basically. We're just below them. We're about 700 yards from them, I think, at this point. I think I range them up 720, something like that. I'm like, all right. They're just one of them's still bedded. The one buck is up feeding, the other buck's still bedded. I'm like, listen, that one's still bedded. This one's barely moved 4 inches since the 15, 20-minute walk that we just did. Shane pulls up. He's like, all right, I'll be there. And he, you know, he flies in, comes up, meets up with me. Okay, listen, we need to get a lot closer. I said, I'm not going to let her shoot 700 yards.
No.
I said, I'm sure she could probably do it, but I don't.
So many mistakes that
happen. Yeah, exactly.
It's better to get as close as possible.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. So if you, well, you know where they're at. But if the listeners could picture this, it's basically like a bowl, but it's very tight. So if you're at the opening of the bowl from one corner to the other corner, it's probably only 500 or 600 yards across. About. Okay. And it's about 800, 900, maybe 1,000 yards from the mouth of the bowl all the way to the very back. So it's like a slot, like a canyon. I don't want to say a slot canyon. It's not really a slot canyon. It was like a canyon. So I'm like, listen, if we climb up the left-hand side of this ridge and we stay behind the ridge and then we pop on over here, we should be at like 300-400 yards. And in normal Shane fashion, he argued with me. And I said, no, this is what we're going to do. He wanted to just move forward a little bit to like 500 yards and shoot from the bottom. I said, no, we're going to climb up there. We're going to shoot straight across, which is going to be an easier shot than trying to aim upwards.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to be closer. Okay, finally. He's like, all right. So we went up. We did that. We get up there. And we're at 350 yards. They're still in exactly in the same spot now. Both deer are up. But the other buck you can't see. And I'm pretty sure the other buck that we couldn't really see very good because he was in, like his body was in the bushes. I think that was actually the bigger of the two bucks. But I didn't care.
No,
Ella didn't care. So we're like, we get set up on this deer, and now she starts having like a little bit of a panic attack again because about the gun. I'm like, babe, you already did this. You already did this.
I don't blame her, man. I'd be
so same thing. I put my hand on her hand with the gun, you know, which I knew was going to have some ramifications with the shot. But I'm like, she's like, all right, daddy, just. And so I held it with her while she squeezed the trigger and she shoots. It's a little far back. She hits him a little far back, but
that's a 300 rum.
That's the other reason why I shoot the 300 rum. You know, the buck runs about 20 yards and just stops behind a tree, and he's getting wobbly legged, and he sits down, and that was it. We hiked up around. By the time we got to him, he expired. Done deal. So
that's all you want, man. One shot, one kill. You don't want to have her take two shots out of that thing.
Yeah, I mean, usually, you know, if I feel like if she would have, it wasn't like 100% gut shot. It was like liver guts type shot. Uh-huh. But I feel like if that was the 6.5 Creedmoor, he would have went.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He still would have died.
It took us two shots with Giancarlo with the 6.5.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it took us two shots.
I mean, it's a great gun, but it's a great gun if it's a perfectly well-placed bullet.
You know, it all depends on, I mean, on the type of bullet, honestly.
With that bullet, with the ELDX.
Yeah, that ELDX is...
I shot an elk with that thing, so, I mean, I'm not... Definitely not knocking. I got two of them because I like them.
Yeah.
But that's what all my clients will be shooting for javelina season when they come.
No, it's a freaking perfect gun, man.
That's so...
And it shoots good. It shoots real good.
Which, by the way, we have to go. I need your help. If you're going to go, by chance, maybe take one of them. I need to get them both sighted in, yeah.
I got to go. I'm going to go probably this week just to get sighted in because I got my son's cruise deer hunt. I know the guns are on, but they need to practice a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll take it. It's fine. I'll get them all.
So, anyway, we walked up on the deer.
She was happy.
You know, Shannon and I made fast work of them, and she was happy. We took some photos. And
but Giancarlo's thing was right there, like not too far from where you guys shot that one.
Yeah.
It's Giancarlo. Where I took Giancarlo was exactly the same spot where we took her in the morning, the first morning.
So Giancarlo's our nephew.
Yeah, Giancarlo's our nephew. My brother's Paul's middle son.
Middle son, yeah.
We had...
They both had... Him and his older brother and him both had tags, but they had real limited time to hunt. I think they put in like 3-4 days. They were after something. They both wanted to shoot something bigger than they had shot the year before. And I think Giancarlo shot, what, like a 75?
Yeah, like a 70.
And Joe's is like a high 80s, maybe touching 90 buck last year.
I would say less than. I would say like probably low 80s.
Low 80s?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because he doesn't have tines, that's right. Yeah. But he's got the big frame. He looks good.
He was heavy.
He looks good. But anyway, so they both want to shoot as good or better than they did this year. So they passed on a bunch of little deer. And then Giancarlo said, screw it. I got one half day to do it. And
no, I took him out of school.
Oh, you took? That's right. You took him out of school there.
I said, listen, because I was hunting with somebody else, helping out somebody else. And then my brother was like, you know, they didn't kill deer. And, you know, I'm like, you know what? I got the morning.
Right.
I got to work at night. I'll just take him. I said, if he could miss school, I will take him and I'll get him a deer. I said, I don't care what it is, whatever we find, I will get him a deer for sure. So I took my dad up there and went to that spot. Mm-hmm. I saw two coos bucks early morning. One was like a 90, one was like an 85, whatever, two bucks together. But then they started freaking running. And I'm like, why the hell are they running? Keep on running, turning back, looking, and they're like, something was spooking them. And I'm like, maybe it was a mountain lion. No, it's three foxes jumping all over each other this way, that
way. That's crazy that they got spooked by foxes.
And the two does, there was two does right underneath them, right by the foxes. Didn't even move a muscle. Didn't even flinch.
It's probably because the does saw what they were, and then the bucks probably just heard commotion. And
they just took off?
Yeah.
So they went up and over, and there was no way I was going to get there in time to go and try to refine them.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I was trying to refine them, but it just... They were in these boulders.
I know.
Yeah. It would have been nice. But so I told my father and John Call to look to the right side while I was looking to the left.
Right.
And I was just keep on looking, nothing. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to look to the right.
Yeah.
Within like a minute, I find three more bugs. But they were tiny. They were small.
Yeah.
Like Duturus.
Yeah.
Like Spike. John, the one that John Carlo shot. And one side. It was a 3x0.
He had three on one side?
Yeah, three on one side and nothing on the other. But it was the biggest out of the three bugs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I was like, listen, do you want to meet? Yes or no? I said,
yeah.
We're going to eat. It's going to taste good. It's going to probably taste even better than if we got a big buck. But
right.
I only have 3 more hours and then I got to leave. I said, I don't know what else we're going to find. They said, might as well go after this.
Right.
And we were like maybe 800 yards away or 750 yards away. It wasn't that far away.
Yeah, it was close enough.
And he's like, okay, we'll shoot it from here. I'm like, no. I'm like, we're going to shoot this thing at 300 yards. We're not. He goes, but I shot my last one at like 600 and some yards. I'm like, yeah, because I wasn't there. I'm not making you shoot a 600-yard shot.
Well, where he shot that one, there's no other. He wouldn't have had a shot if he didn't shoot 40 shot from. So,
but
if you got the option, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna go closer. I'm like, they were bedded.
Yeah.
They just bedded.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, no, we're getting close. So I got him within like 320-yard shot on the deer. But he shot him in his bed, and he got up after he shot him in the bed, and he three steps to the right and then went right back to the bed and laid right back down.
Really?
Yeah. And the other two just stayed there like nothing.
I don't know what it is about that unit, man. They do that a lot in that unit.
They just stay there. And I was like, what the hell's going on? How come they didn't run away?
That other buck that was with Ellis stayed there till we freaking started walking towards him.
And then
I'm like, I could have shot you with a freaking bow.
And then we took another shot at it and expired it. I'm like, just take it. I didn't want him to suffer.
Right.
I'm like, just take another shot. Boom. Took another shot. But I think he hit him a little high. I don't know. Or maybe it was the second one that was high that he expired him. It was the first one that was low. I don't remember. But then we went over there. This kid is so freaking lucky. So I'm like, all right. I told my dad, said that you go with him to go to the deer. I'll go back to the car because I left all the game bags up at the car in the other backpack, and they just walked down without anything. So I'll go back up, you walk with him to the deer, and I'll come back with, you know, all the stuff to clean it up. So I go back, grab all the binos, bring it back to the truck, and I'm looking and I'm like, that looks like a road.
Yeah, there's that one that goes down to the tank.
Yeah. And I'm like, I think I could get there.
Yeah.
So this kid didn't even have to hike up, nothing back. He had to hike 150 yards from where we shot the deer back to the car because I drove the car down there, which I was happy about because I had, you know.
Yeah, because you were going to be doing all the work because your dad can't carry shit. Yeah.
No, he's 73 years old. I don't want him to carry anything. So, but John Collin didn't have to carry anything. He got lucky.
Right.
So, boom. I was like, perfect. I'm like, it couldn't have been a better situation. So.
Nice.
That was that hunt. But
then you didn't have anything after that. It's just your son's elk hunt, no?
Yeah, well, I was scouting like crazy for that damn elk hunt. And I'm still heartbroken. I'm like, I want to cry. I did so much work for that thing. I was talking with everybody. I had my spots, but then I was trying to have like a
backups
B, C, D, E, F plan, everything plan, whatever.
Right.
And people were telling me to go here, go there. And I was going to all these like spots. And to be honest with you, all the spots that everybody told me, everything was like old. Like nothing was, there was old feed. There was no sign of any elk being there. I spent 3 days there with my daughter just trying to like figure out, you know, all those other spots. But I went back, you know, the first spot that I went to was the spot that you took me to that I was early morning when I got there. I found that giant and I was like,
that's the same bull that we found back in July.
Yes. Yes.
And then those other two bulls, you said that right there, you found all three of them.
It was five bulls.
So when you went there, it was five bulls.
Five bulls.
So that morning that we went out in July, it was three of them.
Three of them Okay, so there was at least a 330, a 340, then that 337, 365. I don't know. He was a freaking giant. He's big. He was big. And then there was like a couple spikes.
Yeah.
He would have been fine shooting any of them.
But the spike. Any of them.
But the spike. Yeah, he didn't want it. He didn't want a spike. He was like, he wanted some branch and antler buck. Well, bull. Bull.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him because, you know, who, if there's a bigger one, might as well take him.
For sure.
I got there so early. I knew that the storm was happening. I got off of work the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I told my family, everybody knew that I wasn't going to be spending Thanksgiving this year with the family.
Right.
I was heading up there because I knew the storm was coming. And I was going to be in that spot, camped out, ready to go to make the shot. Got there. The winds were horrendous.
Right.
And I couldn't pull. I couldn't turn them up. I couldn't turn up a elk. All I turned up was a cow and a calf. That whole day. Then the next day, it was white out. Couldn't see a darn thing. And you guys couldn't make it up because it was just the roads were closed.
I know. I was going to come at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't end up leaving my house till
the following day.
Well, that was Friday was the day that I was coming
up. Yeah, you were supposed to come up Friday. You guys didn't come. You didn't come up till Saturday.
I got there Friday. You forgot Friday afternoon. I got there. I just didn't come for the morning. I left my house at like 12 o'clock. 12:30. I didn't get up to you till 4:30 in the afternoon. Right before we just got out, just enough time. You forgot I hunted with you Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Saturday and Sunday. I don't know why I thought it was Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, no, I hunted Saturday, Sunday with you and Monday with your brother.
That's right. But, God, it sucked, man. The weather was terrible. The winds were just horrendous.
Well, listen, all the roads were closed, so that made all the people go to anywhere they could that had open roads.
I was there by myself, though. That was the best thing. Nobody was there. And it was like nothing got up. Nothing was getting up. The whole freaking first day was like a waste.
Yeah. But if
they would have just got up with nobody being there, it would have been like a blessing.
I know.
But whatever. Know. It is what it is.
But listen, still, even with all that shit, we still created opportunities.
Oh, for sure. And
It was a lesson learned for one. Number one for me is I'm never going to not take my spotting scope with me on hunts that I know I'm going to be glassing a long ways. So,
rangefinder in the pocket to keep warm, I think. I don't know if it's just the whiteout.
I don't think it was. It's not the cold. I'm telling you it's not the cold because I hunt in areas that are way colder than that was. That was like we were in the 20s. It was, Anthony, I've hunted in like, you know, single digits and below zero and shit. Like when I go to South Dakota every year.
All three of our rangefinders didn't work that day.
It reflects off the snow. It doesn't give you the right. If you're not 100% perfectly steady on something, remember I found out that very next day, if you held it steady on the tripod and you hit something like a tree or something very, you know.
It was nothing there.
It was working.
That freaking burn.
Anyway, but so Saturday morning was the first morning I actually got to hunt with you. Like, we hunted. We went out that afternoon, but I got, 20 minutes to glass, and that was... Anyway, so Saturday morning we got out, and I immediately found... Oh, no. From the first spot...
We didn't see nothing.
Nothing.
Then we went to the second spot.
Then I said, let's go move to the other spot. Yeah. It's a little bit lower in elevation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we found them miles away.
Right. And then I glassed up that group, 45 elk.
I feel like if I would have just stayed there and never came back, I think we would have maybe... And even then, because I wasn't getting a reading with my freaking rangefinder, so I was like getting nervous. I was like, what's going on? And you know what? I know how to read stuff off my scope, you know, the yardage, but that's why I have a rangefinder, to make sure it's actually correct. And I wasn't getting on the gun to do that. I should have done it. I should have... Everything was timing. Everything is timing. And the timing just was not working out in my favor.
I know, but I want to tell a story.
Huh?
I want to tell the story.
You want to tell the story? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Make
me look bad.
It's not to make you look bad. Oh. It's just funny, and it's more entertaining than listening to you talking about your rangefinder not working.
All right. Go ahead. You want to make me look bad. Let's go.
It's not about making you look bad. All right. Maybe a little bit. All right, so I spot up a group of 45 elk, and I'm like, I know I see it. We're 5 miles away, 5 miles away, easy. And I know I see a branch antler bull. It starts getting a little like not white out, but like hazy and hard to see them. And I'm like, I can see a spike. I was convinced that I seen two branch antler bulls and at least one spike at that point. I'm like, hey, we're going to go after these elk or no? Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Anthony figures out on Onyx Maps between him and I drop a pin, whatever. Takes them about, I mean, this is how far away they are, about an hour plus.
Yeah, hour and 10 about an hour.
Hour
yeah.
and 10 minutes to get there. Hour and 10 minutes to get there. Now I got eyes on you again because I lost sight of you down in there, but you got down there. And I got eyes on you, and you're, I don't know how far away you were, probably about 800 yards, 900 yards from them at that point.
I probably was like 600 yards from them.
But no, I don't think
not,
so. I don't think so.
My range finder was not
I think you were about 900 yards from them, to be honest with you, based on where I went.
You were 5 miles away from me. You couldn't see where I was at. I'm telling you, I was pretty close. I could see them pretty good.
Okay.
But all I was
anyway,
seeing was cows.
So Anthony's like, there's no bulls here. There's no bulls. I'm telling you, I could see every one of them. There's no bulls. I'm like, I could see one right now, and I'm pretty sure he's a bull. And he's laying by himself. And I said, from where you're at right now, you can't see him. Oh, no, though, I could see everything. I could see everything.
But I was seeing everything inside that whole thing. And then,
but you
like,
weren't. That was one. The group yeah. was spread out, dude. They were spread out for like 400 yards.
They were just over that like little knob that
right.
I could see.
And it became more apparent to me why you couldn't see them when I went down with you because of how broke up it would actually was. It wasn't as flat as it had appeared from 5 miles away.
Yeah, no.
So... you know, whatever. But anyway, so you, finally after 20 minutes, 30 minutes of Anthony looking for a bull in his group, he finally says, there's no elk, there's no bulls here, just these couple, two spikes or whatever that we can see, and one of them's only 6 inches or whatever. And I'm like, all right, Ant, come back.
No, you didn't say come back. You're like, I'm going to go look right now and see if I can find another bull.
Oh, yeah.
The That's reason right. why I came back is because you said you found that other bull.
Right, okay. Well, so then I turned my binos, and 2 minutes later, I found the 5x5 about 2,000 yards from where right. we were glassing. And
so
he was standing
like,
there.
Anthony, come back now. So yeah. I freaking hiked down that freaking canyon, hiked back up.
Gets back up back up to me about 45 minutes yeah, now to get yeah, back.
Because I knew the road now.
Right. So you're a lot faster getting back, about 30 minutes faster. You literally get to the top, and that freaking bull drops down into the canyon like as you walked up.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have video to show proof to him, he wouldn't have believed me that there was an elk standing there.
I believed you.
But anyway, he was like a maybe 280, maybe 300, 5x5, but he was close. And the problem with that spot is I was worried if I sent you over there that you were just going to be like willy-nilly walking around because I had no real way to keep an eye on you.
Yeah, it was thick.
I didn't really know where he went. He could have dropped down and kept on going. In my head, I'm like, well, there's snow. Maybe I'll just bring him right to where the bull is. He could get on the tracks and walk and da-da-da-da. At least brand new, fresh snow. There's not going to be any other tracks anywhere else but this size this bull. Uh-huh. And I'm like, nah. And I'm playing it over in my head. I'm like, still contemplating whether or not I'm going to do it. But in the meantime, I just pan back over to that big group of elk. And sure as shit,
they're all standing up.
They're all standing up, and I could see two branch antler bulls, plain as day. And I'm like, motherfucker, they're freaking there. I said, I'm going with you. I don't trust you no more. I'm going with you. I said, they didn't leave all this time. They're not going to leave that area. We don't need somebody back here on the binos. So we drop down, we get down there.
The poor kid had a hike back down. Hike back up again.
Hike back down.
He never complained once.
No, I was impressed. I was impressed.
He was determined to get an elk.
I was very impressed.
Like almost a promise to him that we were going to get one this time.
Yeah. But, I mean, you only hunted. You put a lot of time into it, but you only hunted for 2 days, 3 days.
Well, yeah.
2 days.
2 days.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday. Because Friday was a bust.
Yeah.
You didn't hunt.
he had to get back to school, and it was like, and
school's overrated. I know, but it was. I got 2 degrees. I don't even use them.
I know.
But, no, but seriously.
But then also with the roads the way that they were, yeah. I was scared to be there by myself now if we got stuck. Because I got stuck. You got stuck. My brother right. got stuck.
Yeah.
And I was going to be by myself and you're going to go help out my brother because you promised my brother. So it was better that I sent him home with my dad and then we went and helped out my brother the next right. day.
Which was a whole nother shit show. We'll talk about that after. So anyway, we get down there. And
we make a stalk on
him. We make a stalk on him. We relocate him, make a stalk on him. Because now they have moved. But thank God it's 45 elk. It's not that hard to find them. And now I see a really good bull. And I'm like, well, and there, actually didn't see the really, really good bull. The best bull was when we got actually when we were in close. But I'm like, oh. So the first brand antler bull I saw was, you know, straight up raghorn. He was a little 4x4, you know, whatever. But I'm like, all right, whatever. Let's go after him. Sebastian was ready to shoot him. They're like, oh, wait a second. There was one bull. It was like Nemo. You know, one side was normal, big, and the other side was like, you know, one side was like a one-year-old bull. The other side was like a five-year-old bull. It was, you know, it's crazy. So I get us in there, and I send Anthony ahead of me with radio in his ear. I'm like, if I go with you, there's, you know, we didn't have any cover.
There was none. There was a bush.
Yeah. Behind the bush.
I crawled behind the bush. And we're not talking about a bush that's like 6 feet high. We're talking about a bush that's like right.
so
2 feet high.
You get up there and you're getting him set up on the bags and stuff.
He was on the elk, but all he could see is the head.
Right.
And that was the two spikes. And he's like, Dad, I'm fine with shooting the spike.
You know, but it wasn't the spike. It was a spike, and it was the small branch antler. He had the branch antler.
Yeah, he had it in there. And then I'm trying to range it up, and I'm getting like 1,048 yards. And I'm like, that's not 1,048 yards. Yeah. 209 yards. 509.
Yeah.
1,048.
509. 509 was.
I bet you it was 509.
It was 509 was the correct because I was getting where I was and I was about 130 yards behind you. I was getting right just under 700.
And I was like 209, 509. And that's two things I was getting constantly. 209, 509. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I'm putting 300. I don't know why I should just put 400. Maybe even whatever. I just don't know, man. They seem so close to me because it was like just a wide meadow. Like it was just like an open field.
Right. But the best part about it, that wasn't even the elk. And I'm like, what do you mean he's still sitting down? The one bull was standing and feeding. And that's what was driving me nuts. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go over there and strangle this guy. How does he not see the biggest bull that's standing up in the wide open? Well, not really wide open. There was a lot of it's an old burn. Is what it is. So there's a lot of like little shit and stuff sticking out. But, and I'm like, Anthony, you guys are looking at the wrong elk. It's not the ones bedded. And then you saw him. And then Sebastian saw him.
Yeah, but then we
and
had
you
a
guys,
move
you had a move position.
That's what killed it. Because when we got, like, it was like a little berm over there.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to get above that. But then the second we like got on it,
yeah.
it'd sink us down and he right. couldn't get a shot.
Right.
And
right,
even though
right.
I stacked the bags, he would fall down. And then,
yeah, so I get it. I get it. It was an intense situation and it was going very erratic and it was very rushed.
It wasn't rushed. I don't think it was rushed. I just think
the nerve
of not knowing the yardage was probably
it felt rushed.
He had it on the scope. You know, he had it in his right. crosshairs.
And then when he finally took a shot and he shot, it literally hit halfway between the elk.
We just couldn't and him. See it. Like we didn't see where they hit. We couldn't see nothing. It went low for sure.
Super low.
Yeah.
So. At that point when he shot, I believe that elk was at 700 yards.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because he had walked away from you. And the last time I had ranged him and he was at 700 yards, like I said, you were 120 ahead of me.
There were six or seven bulls. So honestly,
oh, I
don't know which one he had in his freaking sights.
You so heard that. You heard that, folks. There were six or seven bulls. This is coming from the guy that said there wasn't a single bull in there.
Yes. Okay. My bad. Just a little extra hiking. He needed the exercise.
Oh. But,
So there were six or seven books. Excuse me. And I didn't know which one he was looking at.
Right.
But he's just like, I have him in sight. I'm like, okay, so just shoot. They know how to shoot.
Right.
But I don't know which one they're looking at. So I'm like going all.
I was looking pretty broad. And I thought I saw the impact of the bullet.
But
and it was
for sure
it was way low. Short.
Yeah, it's
definitely. Well, I knew it was way low because you told me you had him dialed for 300.
300. That's it. It
was. I know, and he was way past it.
So I knew
anyway, we try to get on.
We went and checked if there was any blood, and we didn't see any blood.
I know.
So it's not like, you know, we wounded one. We did go to the spot.
We stayed on him for 45 more minutes, all the way to dark. We stayed on.
Yeah.
And the only other shot we had, it was like 900 yards, and it was just no. No. So, anyway, so that was Saturday. Sunday, Paul and your dad come to help us. And Sunday went from almost nobody being there on Saturday.
It was so many people.
To about 5,000 people being there. People were getting stuck every other place. I mean, there was trucks driving everywhere, gunshots here, gunshots there. Just mad chaos. And yet, we still managed to put something together again. And then it just didn't work out for us, unfortunately. And then again, what? We went back to the original spot where we seen where we got the big bull.
Yeah. That was the late. That was because we were getting so frustrated with all the people.
That we moved.
Let's just go back over there. And I was going to take the trailer and give it to my dad so that he could take it back.
Right.
And that's when we found the big bull.
Yeah. I glassed him up and I was like, there's no way we're going to get to him in time.
Nope.
We just ran out of time, ran out of light. And I feel like if we would have had a day or two more.
Oh, I know for sure.
He would have got a bull. And maybe he even got that 360 bull. I honestly, like if I felt like we had another half an hour, we could have killed that 360 bull. I think that's about how, because I was in my head, I was thinking, if it was me by myself, I could go kill that bull right now. Because I could probably get there in time. But with Sebastian.
He was a long ways away.
It was a way.
It was iffy.
And we had that private land in between us to contend with, too. Yeah. So that we had to go all the way around that. It was kind of a.
It was a weird situation. It was trying to figure out the road system to get there. And it just wasn't going to happen. And then, especially having my dad pull that trail out, and it wasn't going to be safe with us not all being there.
Right.
Listen, we had a good time. We didn't let it, not, you know, we didn't get one, but
no.
I think being safe and coming home, you know, without any problems
was so important. You sent Sebastian home with your dad and opted to come help Paul because Paul now only had one day to hunt. Because originally, the plan was I was going to hunt with you Friday and Saturday and hunt with him Sunday, Monday.
Correct.
So, Paul gave up a day of his hunting with me to help with you, and you did the same for him, basically. So, we switch units, completely different area.
So much more snow there, too.
Way more snow because you're at 3,000 feet, almost 3,000 feet in elevation higher, 2,000 change. An elevation higher. So we get out there and I'm like, I'm thinking outside the box. I'm like, where is everybody going to be? I'm like, I'm going to go to this spot where I know we can glass from the highway. It's going to be long distance glassing from the highway. And once we find them, you know, we'll have to pick a plan of how to go after them. Pull over. Glass him from the highway, sitting in the bed of the truck. Boom. Find a giant group of elk. Another 45, but they're all spread out all over this mountain. Couple of decent bulls. One good 5x5, which I turned them up right when we were leaving, but he was way up high. And then a few raghorn bulls. But Paul's like, listen, I got one day to hunt. I don't give a shit. Let's just go kill one. Okay. We pull in there. It turns out there's already.
Well, everybody saw us glassing from the highway looking into that mountain. So they're not stupid. They're watching us glass there. And
right.
They're like, oh, let's go straight there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they maybe we're going to go in the same spot anyway, but they could see that we were looking there and they're like, oh, let's go right there.
But those guys were nice anyway. No, so we got awesome. There. They were parked right where we were going to head off after them. And we talked to them and said, hey, listen, you know, we've been glassing that since first light from the highway. We've been watching this group of elk over here. What's your plan? You know, they're like, listen, my son-in-law or my grandson has the tag. All of us are here just for him. And
that's when you offered to take the grandson.
I offered to take the grandson with us, right?
And we're like, and we'll let him shoot. We'll let him shoot.
Because I looked at his gun, and I'm like, he's not set up to take long shots. No matter what we do, there's going to be a long shot.
Yeah, minimum, at least the 500 yards.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. You know, 500-600 yards, easy. Anyway, but so at first they were like all about it, and then he's like, that's okay. We don't want to go after them, is what he said. I want to try. He's got the rest of the week, whatever. He's going to go after something bigger. Fine. Okay. In the meantime, while we're talking to these guys, a Jeep pulls up behind us. It's an older gentleman and what I would believe was his son, like a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I walk over to him because we were blocking the road at that point. I walk over to him just to tell him that we're going to get out of the way. I go over and say, hey, listen, we're making a plan to go after these elk on this hillside over here. And just give us a couple seconds. We're going to pull out of your way and you could get by. I walk back over to you guys. And as I'm walking back over to you guys, he backs up, turns around, and goes back the way he came to catch a little dogleg road that drops down closer to the mountain. And I'm like, this motherfucker. Anyway, you, me, and Paul get our shit together and we start heading, hiking through 2 feet of snow, hiking towards the mountain to get to a spot to get Paul laid down to shoot. And here comes those two. They cut us off. The son and the dad, they cut us off. And I'm like, you know what? All right, Paul. You've been practicing out to 1,400, 1,500 yards. We're gonna test your skill because we're going to have to take a long shot because I'm not letting this asshole freaking – because he's got us beat now by – he's ahead of us at this point. And I'm like, we're just going to shoot from here. You know, we got down. We got to 900 yards.
Yeah, I know. I think we should just stick with our game plan, got to that knob where we were going to go and had him shoot.
Listen, what I originally wanted to do is where we end up.
Yeah. No, exactly.
And that would have took us 30 minutes.
I know.
So, anyway, I'm like, and Paul's like, I do it. I'll do it. No problem. I got this. Okay. All right. So, we got Paul set up. Got him all set up on the bags. Got him all ready to go. Finally, gets lined up on the elk.
Dialed him in.
See, and that's the other thing. Paul's gun drives me freaking nuts because he's got to go back to his phone and back and forth. That shit drives me insane. That costs us.
Us a little bit. I think it's because he's not like...
Because we had him closer, and then he got further away, and we had a chain.
And he had to look in his pocket.
Exactly. He had to look in his pocket instead of, you know, just being able to dial. Anyway, so he gets on him, and he finally turns broadside.
We waited like 15 minutes for him.
Yeah, exactly. He was on him eating in that tree or whatever he was.
For a while.
And then he finally shoots. And I'm not sitting behind him. You're sitting behind him. Anthony's like...
Yo, you shot like
you shot
5 feet in front of him.
Yeah, you shot way wide right, man. Wide right. And then I could see Paul line up, and then you go, Anthony said to him, he says, hold the crosshairs on his ass. He said your elevation was perfect. Hold the crosshairs on his ass. Paul didn't answer back.
He's got the things in his
ears. He had the plugs in his ears. Paul shoots again.
Right across the nose.
Right across the bridge of this elk's nose. Like, I thought he hit him good at first because the way he acted, he like stoned up and he was all stunned because of the way that, and he just standing there. And I saw some blood dripping down his face now at this point, but he just barely grazed him.
He just nicked.
It took just a little flesh off his nose or off the top of his, his muzzle. And I'm like, Paul, you got to put another one in him. And Paul couldn't find him. He couldn't find them in the scope. I don't know how. He didn't jump off the first time. I don't know what he did. I think we had it built up too high.
It's no. You know what the problem is? I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. He has his stupid bipod.
Oh, the bipod. That's what it was. That's right, because I got on the gun to get
it. Take it off. And the bipod... I tell everybody, take off the damn bipod, take off everything.
That's what it was.
Shooting off the bag, yep. Cannot. It's hindering the shot because the peg is supposed to let the gun slide perfect. Right. And that is not sliding perfect. That thing kills me. And so he just like lost everything, and then he couldn't find it back in the scope. I mean, then he found it back in the scope, but then they're already now they're like 1,100 yards because they were up the
12.
Oh, and I'm like, you're not taking that shot. Yeah. I told him, I said, there's no way. I said, you're missing at 900 and you're thinking you're going to get 11. No, I'm not. No. You're not taking that shot. Let's get closer. We got it. Who cares? Right. Next thing you know, 3 minutes later, boom, boom.
Yeah, the guys that cut us off started shooting. Missed completely.
Correct.
And all the elk started running up the mountain.
Uh-huh.
They all ran up to the top. And I'm like, listen, they're going to go up and over to the other side. I got Paul, got us all packed up. We biked back to the truck. And I drove around, and I got us to this point.
It took us about an hour.
I don't think it took us that long.
Yeah, I would say it took about an hour. And then they bedded down.
And then I was like, we found them. I couldn't see the 5x5, but we found the elk. And I'm like, all right, Paul. All we have to do is hike up this ridge, and you're going to be 500 yards across from it.
It's like 430 yards.
And I'm like, I don't know why he didn't want to do it. He's like, all right, let's just keep driving around and see if we get it. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, and I wasn't 100% convinced either at that point, but I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is not a different group of elk. This is the same group of elk.
It was the same. It was the same one.
Anyway, so we drive around a little bit further instead of going up that ridge. And from that angle, now I could see a raghorn bull, 4x4, whatever he was, small bull. And I'm like, and the spike, the tall spike with the forks on the top.
One fork and one spike.
One fork, one spike, yeah. Well, the other bull walks up, but the other one comes down. And I'm like, Paul, all right, you want it? He's like, I don't care. Let's go shoot the spike. He's down lower. Let's go shoot him. Fine. So we go after him. And as we're going after him, we see the 5x5 that he shot at with and his graze across the nose. And I'm like, son of a bitch, if we would have just went up the fucking ridge like I told you to do, we would have been shooting run right now. He would have been dead. And you would have had a chip shot, you know, 500, less than 500 yards. It was frustrating. We did a lot of hiking through a lot of deep snow. Anyway,
but that's the whole thing. We finally get into the snow. It's like you get on it and then you go to like lay down. We should just the whole thing is like they don't practice off the tripods to get off the ground.
Right.
They're always practicing prone.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a way better shot, especially out that yardage. But in that situation, you lay down in the snow and you're sinking yourself.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I know, but anyway, long story short.
We didn't take another shot.
We didn't take another shot. And that little bull, the one that came down, I don't know where the hell he disappeared to because he like, it doesn't even compute to me how he could have even left.
It's probably just like one of those like little ridges.
Like I don't know where he went, but he went somewhere. We found cows again, whatever. I just could not turn him up. All the elk now went all the way to the very top of the mountain, and they're on the top flat part of the mountain. And then the rest of the day was a bust, really. We found other elk, but nothing to go after.
We couldn't get after them. There was no way. And there was so many other
hunters. Oh, there's hunters everywhere in that. Yeah, I honestly, I learned some lessons. I know if there's a bunch of snow coming.
Oh, don't be telling people that. That's our little secret.
I'll cut that out.
Yeah, definitely.
I learned a bunch.
We all got stuck. Yeah. We all got stuck. So from now on.
Learned a bunch of stuff. Definitely a bunch of stuff I'm going to do. I'm definitely the spotting scope. Never leaving home without it.
I'm getting a
winch. I'm doing four sets of chains, not two.
Yeah.
I only got stuck because I was being an asshole.
I got stuck for being nice to somebody.
Yeah. I got stuck with.
Let me go around this person. Next thing I know, I'm stuck in a ditch and I had John pull me out.
I got stuck because it was the last like half an hour of light and I was just like wanting to play because I was upset. We were done. I was like, so I started doing drifts and stuff at like 50 miles an hour in the snow and I caught an edge and I couldn't hold on to it and it just caught me in this rut.
It was like an embankment, yeah.
And I went off into it, and I was up to my freaking bumper in snow, and I was like, yeah,
I'm stuck. John had to get pulled out by a Ford, just to let you guys know, with his Toyota.
Yeah.
It was kind of embarrassing.
The guy was super happy about that. I was like, yes, I finally got to pull out a Toyota.
They just got stuck like a half hour prior to, about an hour before they got to us. They said they had to shovel themselves out.
Yeah.
But listen.
I almost got out on my own, though.
Almost.
Anyway.
But.
So, yeah. That's it. That's a wrap. I'm going to cut it there because I feel like we can ramble on for a long time.
Listen. Everybody.
Hopefully you're.
Have a happy new year.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll Merry have Christmas. A better story with my son's cruise deer hunts.
Yeah.
And
I'm upset that I won't be able to go with you.
It's all right. I'm going to think Joe's going to come with me for a day.
Yeah.
Too, but I know that area.
I know.
Billy's going to be there. Yeah. Billy Babish. I love the freaking guy. I'm going to maybe camp out with him.
He's got a tag too.
He's got a tag. Yeah. So it's like he's already, but he's been there already 3 months.
Yeah.
So it's fine. I'm not worried about it. I have 1 day to hunt with Sebastian, and then I have 4 days to hunt with Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian, whatever we find, we're shooting, and then Joey, he wants the. He said, I want to top my 100-inch buck. So
yeah.
We're going to go after some. That's his goal. So
nice.
We're going to do it. I mean, we're going to try.
Yeah.
Last day, if we got to shoot something for meat in the freezer, we'll do it. But
there you go.
We're good. Well, everybody, listen, have a Merry Christmas. Again, thank you guys for
supporting. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Phoenix Shooting Bags. We have a couple things out there that's going to be coming out in January, a couple different colors. And
we're going to be doing, we're going to be putting on some shooting schools and stuff next year.
Yeah. We got something in the works that's going to be big and I'm excited about it. But actually, you know what? Hit us up on John's Instagram or whatever saying, if that's something you guys would be interested in a shooting school, us putting it on, with, how to shoot off the bags, how to shoot long distance. If that's something that you guys are interested in, that's what, me and the guys are talking about right now, and we may put on a school. So, like I said, just hit John up at johnstallone.me and tell him your thoughts. I really want to hear what you guys think about all that.
Awesome. All right, man. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.